Psalm 23 for our psalm meditation this afternoon. Psalm 23, of course, probably, if not the absolute best known psalm, I would be willing to guess that it is. Certainly one of the top three. We'll see what we have here today that's new. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. As I said, Psalm 23 here is probably the best known of all the psalms. It's one that people enjoy reading, they enjoy quoting. I've seen it on t-shirts and bumper stickers, parts of it all over the place. Once in a while, people even sing it, as it was meant to be done when they wrote it. But as we look at this psalm, we need to, or we should, look at it a little more deeply, in a little more depth, to look for the meaning in there that God put in it, not just what people like to take out of it. Now today, yesterday as I looked at this, after studying most of the week, looking at the Feast of Booths, and I don't want to give away the surprise ending for the sermon, but it struck me that these two again are very closely connected as we see so often. But here we have, it's a Psalm of David. And as we know, looking back at the last several psalms, it's a messianic psalm as well, because the psalms do speak of Jesus. Last week, as we looked at the fairly long Psalm 22, we see an encapsulation, a short story, a Reader's Digest version almost, of the life, ministry, death, sacrifice, resurrection of Jesus. And now in Psalm 23, oh, I forgot, and the enthronement as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now as we look at Psalm 23, we see the result of all that in his life, as he lives now at the right hand of the Father, but in his people more so. Of all the psalms, this one speaks more to us, or more from us, than it does looking directly at Jesus. This one is us. And yeah, I know that the verb and the pronoun don't match. But this is the people of God speaking to the Lord, as well as Jesus to the Father. It begins with, "The Lord is my shepherd." And that, of course, is an analogy, a picture of Jesus that we see all through the Gospel. That He is the one who leads us. And as long as He does so, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now here we see the Good Shepherd, of course, as He takes care of His people. He makes them to lie down in green pastures, and green pastures fairly rare in the Middle East. But if you're a sheep, this is something that you'd really like to see. We see the green pastures are comfortable. The green pastures have water, they have food, soft ground to lie on instead of the rocks and the sand. Very comfortable, but more so, it's one that has provision for the people of God, for the sheep of God. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Still waters, of course, being safe water. Now, we've all heard the saying, the still waters run deep, but they're still still waters. They don't have the dangers of the rapids, of the rocks, but they're waters that we can drink out of safely. And here, of course, we see a picture, as we see in the Gospels and in the apostolic books, of the water of life given. That the shepherd not only gives his people food, but life in the waters as well. He restores my soul. Now, we've all had times of trouble. And when we think of this picture here, and, you know, you all hear the pastoral melody playing in the background and all this. But being able to go quietly into green pastures, to lie beside still waters, to have all our needs taken care of, no dangers and no stress. It's a wonderful picture, and it's a picture of heaven. But it's also a picture of the spiritual reality that a believer should have. Because it says here, not just he restores my body, but he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Again, as we saw last week, and we see again this week, the good things that God gives the believer is because he loves us. But he loves us for his name's sake. And our very lives, our existence, is for the purpose of bringing glory to our God. He leads us in the paths of righteousness, but it's for his name's sake that we might live holy lives as a witness to others. Verse 4 is one that's quoted quite a bit. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now this to the Israelite, or to the Jew of David's age, would be a very evocative passage, one that really brings things to mind. Because the thing that imposes itself on the believer in the Old Testament, particularly mine, more than anything else, would have been the Exodus. To the Jews in the Middle East, the thing that they remember, the national identity really, is bound up in the Exodus from Egypt. And here we had them walk, or God had them walking through the nation of the evil one, through the Red Sea, through Sinai, which is pretty inhospitable, through the desert, and all the way through, even though the people stood against them, God was with them. And now as individuals, we can say that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Because we should know that the physical dangers that we face really aren't that important compared to the spiritual dangers. But when God is with us, no one can hurt us. And no matter what God's plan for our life is, he is with me. We see here, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now those, I'm sure you've heard the people teach this before. I know I've heard Phil a couple times speak of this pairing. That a rod and a staff are two different things. A shepherd's staff would be used to guide the sheep, to help them along, to do various things. But the rod would be used to defend the sheep against those who would attack. So not only do we have divine guidance here, but we also have defense from the one above. And the last two verses really speak to what we're going to look at in the sermons today. They speak to communion. They speak to us as we gather together for meals. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. It's so hard not to say run up there. You said it so many times. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not only does God provide for us now, which would be good enough. Not only does he live with his people now here on earth, which is very good. Even more so, we know that he provides for us, but he prepares a table for us in the presence of my enemies. He makes a witness before the world that we are his people and he eats, he lives, he dwells with us. But he anoints us with oil. And we should think of course, the Old Testament types of the priests and the kings who were anointed with oil. And we know in the New Testament, we, the church, are called a royal priesthood. And we are both kings and priests in God's name on the earth. Everything we've ever wanted is given to us by God, and more so, so that our cup runs over. If we have our priorities right, we see that we're given far more better things than we deserve. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here's the promise of eternity in heaven, and then in the new heavens and the new earth with our Lord. Dwelling with him, not under him, but with him forever. This is a very comforting psalm. It's a psalm full of promise as well as acknowledging previous gifts.